Yeah,
I think that's
Do you
hear me? Do you hear us?
I can hear you.
Gör det sån här.
Que con ellas no mataban. Con mi 30-30 me voy.
Hello, Ingrid. Good afternoon, good night, good morning. This is Genoa Zárate. So thank you so much for having me here and inviting me to talk a little bit about the Mexican Revolution and the women. Well, first of all, the key aspects about the Mexican Revolution is that it started in 1910, exactly on November 20th, in order to overthrow the current ruler and dictator, the president Porfirio Díaz. And the main objective was to ensure a better way of life for the farmers, the farming classes. And a number of groups led by revolutionaries, including the infamous Pancho Villa, Francisco Villa, from the north, the militia of the north, and Emiliano Zapata from the south, and also Francisco I. Madero, they all participated in the long and bloody conflict that took over around 900,000 people's lives, and it ended in the drafting of a constitution in 1917. So just a little bit of a context. Porfirio Díaz wanted to modernize and develop Mexico as a first world nation, but at the same time he was building factories and very fancy buildings such as Bellas Artes and etc. The peasants in Mexico they suffer greatly. Therefore, there was a inequalities mainly that led to this fight for justice. So, just in this context, in the 1900s, Mexican women they had no rights. So we earned the right to vote in 1957. So in 1900. There was no vote, no rights over marriage, over children, and sexuality. So, and also, we didn't have the right to develop important roles in the workforce. So we as women were expected to be just wives and mothers, to stay at home and take care of the children, basically. That was mainly the traditional women's role in that times, right? So in the Mexican Revolution, there is this figure, this archetype of female fighters that appeared, and it's called the Adelitas.
Enamorada de un sargento, popular entre la tropa era Adelita, la mujer que al sargento idolatraba, porque que a más de ser valiente era bonita, y hasta el mismo coronel la respetaba.
Or also known as the soldaderas, meaning the female soldiers, which was new, which was different in the context of Mexico. So these women, these soldaderas, contributed to many, many aspects of the Mexican Revolution. And they work as obviously as cookers or and nurses, spies, messengers, and also fighters. And this is very important because some of them achieve the role of colonel and general, but they are invisible in the Mexican history and in the regional history because women were not considered important. And some of them were forced by their husbands to follow them in order to cook for them and to wash their clothes and etc. But some others, they were able to volunteer to fight and join the cause, not the revolutionary cause, either the north or the south or different revolutionaries. And nowadays we see the pictures, the photographs back in the day, and we see them as strong and courageous women in the trains and with their chest full of guns, full of bullets, and their guns, and you can see their strong and courageous faces, no, that were obviously they were fighting in a revolution. But at the same time, they are hidden from the official history. And there is this Mexican writer, Elena Poniatowska, that says that without the soldaderas, there is no Mexican Revolution. No, we don't count all the caregiving works and all the other tremendous fighters that we had.
La joven a quien yo quiero y no puedo olvidar. En el mundo yo tengo una rosa que con el tiempo la voy a cortar.
There was this one soldadera in particular called Petra Herrera, also known as La Guerrera or La Generala, the female general or the warrior, and she joined the cause, the revolutionary cause, in order to fight side by side with the male soldiers. But as I said before, the Mexican women, they were considered delicate and not at all as a part of a fighting revolution. Therefore, she and let alone that they were not allowed to be part of the ranks of the militia ranks. So Petra disguised herself as a man in order to get in, and she started calling herself Pedro Herrera. Pedro is a male name in Spanish. So she joined the troops of none less than Pancho Villa. She braided her hair and she hid it, so she appeared as a male soldier. So she had to lie, obviously, to her fellow soldiers in order to protect her identity, her gender identity. And some people say that she was the first one to wake up every morning, and she started shaving so she could justify that she didn't have a beard, a proper beard. So She became a very, very strategic soldier, and she was recognized to be a very aggressive and intelligent fighter, and she led military operations very, very efficiently, all of this in these guys as men. And she was known as a brave soldier, and obviously praised by her intelligence and strategy and capabilities that she had. She was a specialist in blowing up bridges, and she was also known to be a fierce warrior. So she decided to show her true identity, because she had this fame and she had this reputation and she was very well regarded. So she confessed her true identity, and I would think that she might thought that the people wouldn't even care that she was a woman, because she was capable and she has shown that she was intelligent and strategic, and she had a military mind. We're talking about a progressive minds, revolutionary minds in 1900s in Mexico that changed completely the panorama of the country, and they had a progressive ideas to have a better democracy. However, she confronted the patriarchy. She confronted the macho institution that, even though they were revolutionary and libertarians and they were dreaming about a better Mexico, the women were invisible. They weren't dreaming about the fair treatment or equality for women, even though Pedro Herrera demonstrated that she was capable. So there is two different accounts on what happened after she confessed her true identity. Some people say that when she told the truth, she was immediately removed from the army, because Pancho Villa, as I said, was a revolutionary, but she was a macho, and she couldn't accept to have a general and commander of his troops to be a woman. So and some others say that Villa let her stay because she has shown that she was capable, obviously. But then after a few battles, she wanted to move up the ranks, and she wouldn't and Villa wouldn't accept to have any woman to become a commander or to have a higher rank. So he dismissed her. I would go for the first one, that because Pancho Villa was known to be a very belligerent, also revolutionary, but belligerent to women. So she was dismissed from the militia, and interestingly enough, she decided to organize her a group of women, no, that were also removed from combat for being a woman, or they just wanted to join or to help in the revolutionary cause, but they couldn't enter the militias. So and here is another two versions. Some people say that she gathered 400 women, and some others say that it was 1,000. No, so let's say in between 400 and 1,000 women, no, soldaderas, female soldiers. That was important because it was quite a militia, and so she decided to fight against Díaz, no, Porfirio Díaz, the president, and she, Petra Herrera, and her militia, female militia, fought in several battles and won, and in these battles she joined forces with Pancho Villa as well, even though he dismissed her and he didn't want her to fight with her. They joined the revolutionary cause against the Porfirio Díaz as an enemy, and Villa and Pancho Villa and Petra Herrera, they took the city of Torreón in the north of Mexico in 1914. That was a military center for former President Díaz, and well, apparently after that battle that they won, she requested another general that was leader for the revolution to allow her to re-enter the militia. She asked to re-enter Pancho Villa's forces, but with the title of general, and they denied her again, and that was sad, because they only recognized her and her militia when they needed, obviously, the force to win a city, but they never acknowledged that she was actually a general in the revolution, no? And they made an effort to hit her from history and from the current battles. And so after that, they disbanded their women's militia, the brigade, but after that she joined Venustiano Carranza, another revolutionary, and she became a spy for him. So she was not only a general that with a militia that was disbanded, she became a spy for Venustiano Carranza, that later was the president of Mexico, and she died of she was murdered after that, and this is I believe Petra Herrera is a very interesting person. And she gave a special color to the Mexican Revolution. And it's very important to retrieve this history, this part of Mexican history of female soldaderas, because when we are taught about the Adelitas and the female soldiers when we are little, when we are in school, or when we read about them, we just see them as passive, sort of like a passive characters in the Mexican history, and they are not. And thanks to Petra Herrera and some other female fighters, we can see them as something else in Mexican history. And there is also this corrido, this song from the Mexican Revolution, that is called the Adelita, and that is a very is a romance towards the female soldiers. So we remember them as a funny romance.
Adelita se llama la joven a quien yo quiero y no puedo olvidar. En el mundo yo tengo una rosa que con el tiempo la voy a cortar. Si Adelita quisiera ser mi novia y si Adelita fuera mi mujer, le compraría un vestido de seda para llevarla a bailar al cuartel.
we don't see them in the light of actually fighters, no, and very strong fighters and strategic and intelligent women. Since there is this, Elena Poniatowska, the Mexican writer, has this book about las soldaderas, and she investigated, she researched about the Pancho Villa, and he was obviously a very misogynistic man, but there is this massacre of 90 soldaderas, 90 female fighters, because when Pancho Villa captured these 90 soldaderas that were against him, there was this bullet that that passed by his hat, and he answered, "Who did that?" And all of the 90 women, they didn't want to say, so he massacred all of them, and they never confessed who was that. But on the other hand, the Zapata, Emiliano Zapata, in the south, relation with the soldaderas was different. Villa in the north was like a devil, like a Dante for women. Zapata, on the other hand, he never humiliated them, and he joined forces actually with them. So it was a very different notion of accepting women in the army. The Zapata's notion. So there is this account that in Morelos, in actually in the Ixtla Bridge, there was the widows, the wives, and the daughters, also sisters and family of the rebels, and they form their own battalion in order to seek vengeance for the death. And they say, well, under the command of a stocky former tortilla maker by the name of China, and they carried out savage incursions, no battles throughout the Morelos, no, and that district. And so there was another female fighters in the south, no, by the name of China, and there was this other called Josefina Borges, and she was also another fighter. So that was the relation of Emiliano Zapata with the soldaderas. So finally, yes, it's important to rescue this part of history, of herstory, of Mexican herstory, in order to know more about all these soldaderas, adelitas that fought in the Mexican Revolution, but they are invisible in our history, and how many of them we don't know. There are so much more, but there is no books, there is no accounts, there is no history written about them. We just know about from them for the pictures and some accounts. But I wonder how many more there is that they are hidden.
Yo lo vi solita, me despierte poco a poco así. Y luego, como lo vi, hay muchos pobreza. No hay buena casa. No hay nada de dinero para comprar que queremos. No hay miropa, tenemos nada. Solo estamos como explotados. Todos los campesinos así vivimos. Todas las mujeres así vivimos.
Mucha gente está cantando, está gritando. Para bien con toda la gente, campesinos y mujeres, niños, ancianos y todos.
querida presencia, comandanta Ramona. Aquí se queda la clara, la entrañable transparencia de tu querida presencia, comandanta Ramona.
Genevieve Zarate, hun fra Universidad Iberoamericana i Mexico. Og hun har fortalt om den meksikanske revolusjonen og kvinnen, som har i senere tid blitt skrevet inn i den. Og Genue, hun avslutter med å si hvor mange flere er gjemt i historien. Og det er, som alltid, om man løfter litt på sløret, mye å finne. Den meksikanske revolusjonen den skjer nesten parallelt med den russiske revolusjonen. Og man ser på de rurale kravene, altså bønderne sine krav i begge revolusjoner, så hadde de akkurat det samme slagordet. Jord og frihet. Men om du også ser på kvinnene i begge revolusjoner, så ser du også felles krav fra kvinnene som ble stilt. De ville ha jord og frihet, men også frihet som kvinner. I etterkant av den meksikanske revolusjonen skjer det store kvinnekongresser i Mexico. En av dem som dro dit, i hvert fall så tror jeg at hun dro dit, var bolsjevikeren Alexandra Kollontai. Hun var i Mexico en god stund, det vet vi. Og det finnes en tynn bok om Kollontai som er utgitt på Universitetet i Veracruz i Mexico. Forbindelsen mellom Kollontai og den russiske og den meksikanske revolusjonen og de revolusjonære kvinnene i begge revolusjonene er et slør som jeg enda ikke har lettet så mye på. Men jeg tror at jeg og alle dem som leter vil finne veldig mye spennende der. Vi tar et hopp videre i tid, for så vidt, men ikke politiske krav. Stemmen du hørte etter Genue Zarate, det er kommandanta Ramona. Og framfor en romantisk corrido, altså den du hørte Genue referere til, som er Amparo Ochoa sin romantiske versjon av det meksikanske revolusjonære fra århundreskiftet, som tilsynelatende lot seg tilfredsstille med silkkjola og rosa. Vi vet jo at sånn er det ikke. Og her er da Lengua Lerta sin versjon av kommandanta Ramona. Og kommandanta Ramona, hun kjempet ikke for rosa og silkkjola. Hun var en del av urfolksbevegelsen, zapatistene. Og jeg sier hun var en del av kommandanta Ramona, hun døde i 2006. Men hun kjempet i flere år, og ja, som en kommandant, en revolusjonær her.
Estamos como explotados. Todos los campesinos así vivimos. Todas las mujeres así vivimos. Antes yo era chiquita. Vendemos los gallinas o huevos así. Los jalan. No quieren en su regalo así. No pagan. Cállate, indio, nada más dijo los mestizos.
Vi levde som utbytta. Explotados. Hold kjeft, indio, sa en av dem som eide jorda vi jobber på, forteller kommandanta Ramona. Ramona og zapatisten de organiserte en hemmelig opprørshær i den sørligste delstaten av Mexico, Chiapas, på 80-tallet. Og den 1. januar 1994 så kom de ned fra fjellene og ut av jungelen. Og de satte en støkk i den meksikanske regjeringen da de erklærte krig mot dem. Zapatistene mante til opprør i hele Mexico. Og sentralt i deres krav var jord og frihet, men også likeverd, utdanning, helse, tak, arbeid, verdig arbeid. Og kvinnene, slik som kommandanta Ramona, hadde også sine krav. Men dette var krav de stilte til sine egne samfunn før de ble med i opprøret. De lagde en egen revolusjonær kvinnelov. Zapatistene de har tatt navnet sitt fra den meksikanske revolusjonen, fra revolusjonshelten Emiliano Zapata. Og deres kamp er en forlengelse av revolusjonen fra 1910. Jord og frihet, men ikke uten kvinner sin frihet.
Abandones la lucha.
Lyden her noen av 4000 kvinner som møttes til Zapatistkvinnene sitt andre internasjonale møte for kvinner som kjemper. Her forstått som alle som identifiserer seg som kvinne. Dette skjedde i deres selvstyrte områder i desember 2019. Og Zapatistkvinnene er i dag en viktig referanse for en internasjonal kvinnekamp. Av flere grunner. Bare det at urfolkskvinner kan invitere flere tusen kvinner fra hele verden for å komme til deres områder, det i seg selv revolusjonært. Revolusjon har et kvinnelig ansikt, en radioserie laget for Radio Rakel med støtte fra Fritt Ord. Episodene I serien har ingen rekkefølge. Du kan høre den slik du vil og etter interesse. Du kan lytte til kampen for frigjøringen fra kolonimakten, den russiske revolusjonen, den meksikanske revolusjonen og zapatistkvinnens videreføring av den I nyere tid. Du finner den samiske kampen innenfor nasjonalstaten I Norden, svarte kvinners kamp I Brasil og kurderens mangeårige kvinnekamp og frigjøringskamp. Alle episoderne tar utgangspunktet I en kvinnelig historisk person for å slik åpne døra til en større historisk prosess. I denne serien det altså kvinner som snakker om kvinner. Denne radioserien laget av Ingrid Fadnes. Bård Vatten har laget introen, og Fabio Nascimento har komponert musikken.